So welcome to this episode of the Telltales podcast. Today we're joined by Aaron Truss, who is the blended and online development lead over in the business and law faculty.
Thanks, Chris. So my name's Aaron Truss, and I lead our team over in the Faculty of Business and Law. So our aim is to try and promote an effective, inclusive, and engaging digital learning experience for our staff and students. And in practice, what that really means is that we want to support all the day-to-day learning and teaching activities, things like administration and support for staff using Moodle or e-learning tools. But we also want to try and empower staff and academic teams to make a difference to students' learning by doing something innovative, by trying something new in their teaching. So a key part of that is often about helping staff to see the benefits of trying new things, helping them to develop their own skills so that they can develop their own teaching practice. And I always remember one colleague saying to us that she tries one new thing every year. And that's kind of a bit like our motto, really. So just trying to encourage staff to do one thing a bit different they've never done before. It might be in terms of assessment design. It might be in terms of the way they use technologies in the classroom. And it doesn't have to be high tech. It can often just be about enabling their practice and tying them in with existing resources in the university and making sure that what they're doing is as good as it can be. What I found as well is that opportunities for innovation usually come from having a positive working relationship with staff. So it relies on trust, and obviously from having a meaningful interaction with them so they can see the value in what you're offering, and then recognising a need. So it's rare in my experience that staff will come in and want to use all sorts of new exciting things. Usually they come in, they're a bit unsure about stuff, so we will work with them, offer training and support to help them get up to speed with stuff, and then maybe help them progress from there. Okay, so an example, I think, from a couple of years ago. So our team, BAL Digital, we have a number of media producers and learning technologists working in our team. And a couple of years ago, there was a member of academic staff who recognised a need to make their teaching more efficient on our postgraduate courses. So we've got loads of postgraduate courses in our faculty at Business and Law. We had about 30 different modules, all teaching research methods in a different way. And I think this is where learning technology can provide some real benefit and real efficiency gains for staff and students. So what we realised was that we could streamline this, and we could create a series of resources, interactive blended stuff that teachers and academics could use with their students to augment and support what they're doing in the classroom. So not to replace it, but to make it more effective for them. The idea was we basically made a series of off-the-shelf kind of resources that were tailored specifically for our faculty and for the members of staff teaching on these courses. So as I said, it was a bit of an efficiency drive. And what we did was we used some learning design methodologies like Carpe Diem at the time to come up with this blended online research methods and materials. And we used some rapid authoring tools as well, Articulate, to create these packages. And we made sort of learning activities that were designed to be blended, so they could be used in the classroom or could be used as standalone activities. And they could be stratified as well for different learners and different needs. And then in addition to that, we created some really nice quality video resources using our academics in the faculty. And what we did was, with this lead academic, we got buyout time for their workload, because we appreciate an obstacle that's often there for staff doing new things with technology is just a lack of time. Workload is tight, and it takes a lot of time and effort to do this kind of stuff. But we do recognise that if you put the time in up front, it hopefully will yield benefits down the line. So what we did was we worked with our faculty exec to get some buyout time for these staff, and we divided up the topics. So each person did a different theme, one on literature reviews, one on writing dissertations, one on ethics, and divided the whole thing up into about 7 different chapters. And then we made a bunch of micro videos, aiming for each one to be no more than 10 minutes. Some of them were 1 or 2 minutes. And we sort of strapped them all together on a learning path, and then staff could use these as part of their teaching. And it was positive, because some staff could use the whole thing as a course effectively, and other staff could use bits and bobs of them, just pick and choose. But the idea was it was kind of like a syllabus ready-made there for staff to use. And the hope was that it would replace the sort of traditional lecture, 50 minutes of just talking at someone at the time, with these resources, and it would free up staff time to then offer tutorials and meaningful interaction with students in the classroom. And we were involved with that with our media producers, doing the video content, scripting, storyboarding. If you've tried this kind of thing before, you'll know it takes a lot of time to do it really well. But that was a project that we worked on over a period of months, and it was really positive. Those videos are still being used now several years later, and it was really helpful during the pandemic as well.
Aaron, that sounds amazing. And I know from experience of working with teachers and academics that this idea of trying one new thing every year, I absolutely love it. And I think it's a really, really good thing. But that's not always the case for every single teacher or academic. I'm assuming you've had some kind of pushback from academics or staff that don't necessarily have the time or don't want to develop in this way. How have you and your team dealt with this and kind of pushed forward with it?
So that's a really good question, Chris. I think because of the pressures on academics and teaching staff, sometimes it can be time and resources, and sometimes it could be an interest in new technologies or trying new things as well. And what we tend to do is, as I mentioned earlier, we see that the value interactions comes from building trust with members of staff. So often, initially, we will help them with stuff that they need doing, really. So we'll help them with the administration, you know, things like creating assessment drop boxes or dealing with queries for them, and then hopefully building trust beyond that so that we can encourage them to see new things and see the value in that. But the other thing we try and do is that we offer something called Ask Us Anything events within our faculty. And the hope is that by bringing in real academics who are currently teaching and doing things themselves, I think it legitimizes the process, because sometimes it can be challenging. Staff can see a technology or a new tool as being a bit esoteric and distant, and it's not relevant to them. But I think when you can contextualize it with what an academic's doing in the classroom now, it's really useful. So, for example, we'll get a real member of staff who's used Nearpod or something like that, and we'll get them to talk about how they've actually used it in their teaching, and show examples and let everyone use it on tables and that kind of thing. And I think that kind of setup, it's low pressure. The idea is it's more of a community of practice where staff can come along and literally ask any question. It's not recorded within the classroom, so there's no fear for staff about speaking out of turn or asking questions that are silly. But then afterwards, what we do is we package up the guidance that's provided by the academic, and then we can share that with other people who couldn't be there. So I think it's a tricky one, Chris. It's a sort of winning hearts and minds thing. But I think often by showing that there are other practitioners, expert practitioners, subject matter experts like them, who are using some tools or doing certain things, and how useful it's been for them in their practice, that's often the way of winning people over. I think, yeah, sort of enforcing stuff doesn't go down very well. It's about winning hearts and minds, really.
Thank you, Aaron. That's a really great answer. And I certainly think that authenticity and proven results, it does certainly go a really, really long way. I really love that idea as well of the guidance and packaging that up for members of staff that can't be there, and also sharing it with those that have been in the room. So how does the BOW Digital team work with guidance that you produce for academics? And is that something that you develop on a regular basis?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, well, on a one-to-one basis, we've got lots of tutorials and guides, much like the TEL team have, which are there on a needs-led basis to help staff with individual issues. But as well, I think what we found during the pandemic, and I'm sure a lot of people have found, is that there's often a desire from students and learners to have a consistent experience with their online and blended sort of learning. And I appreciate that can be tricky, because there can be a perception from staff that going for a very consistent approach can take out the opportunity for individual creativity and control. But what we've done within the faculty is we've tried to use an evidence base to demonstrate the values of this. So I know that the TEL team in the past have often highlighted the findings of the digital insights surveys over the past few years, and they consistently show that students really appreciate clarity, clear instructions, and consistency of experience on things like their virtual learning environment sites. So it doesn't mean everything has to be the same, but it is helpful if students have clear signposting and if the kind of terms that are being used online are consistent across their course. So I think it's really important to remember that a student might be doing different modules in a university, but it all fits together into one course. And so what we try and do is we come up with checklists and guidance for new staff and existing staff, not in a prescriptive way, but hopefully in a way that supports and enables them to get a baseline so that students do get a similar experience. We also try and highlight and showcase some of the really good examples that we see from staff. So where communication is really clear, where it's accessible for students, and where it enables learners just to have a really positive learning experience. We want to show that so people can see that as well. But I think that idea of presenting that guidance, it's been really useful over the last few years, because it's helped get a baseline to ensure that staff can have creativity and control while still trying to adhere to a degree of consistency. And another thing that's really helped with that has been our central technology enhanced learning team has provided templates for our VLE sites, which again has given a structure to help staff to work with, and then educating those staff in how to use those features to the best of their abilities. That again, it gives that degree of creativity whilst also maintaining a bit of consistency for students.
That sounds incredible, Aaron. So can you tell me or give me some examples of some of the tools that you're using with academics within the business and law faculty?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, well, much like you guys have the Learning Glass here in Mercantile, which is a fantastic resource for producing really high quality videos. A couple of years ago, we invested in something called Rapid MOOC, which is a green screen video creation studio. And we did it shortly before the pandemic without knowing what was coming. And it turned out to be really useful because at that point, we found there were lots of members of staff who were really nervous about creating visual content. And the idea is that you stand in front of a screen and you can see exactly what's being produced with very little delay or latency. And it can present your slides behind you or alongside you. So the idea is it's kind of like a training education aid as well as producing content very, very quickly. We started using it about 6 months before the pandemic. Lots of academics used it to produce module intro videos and things like that. And we made about 300 hours worth of video content in a few months. And then when the pandemic hit, our central TEL team worked really hard to get a content management platform up and running for our institution. And so that really coincided in our faculty with staff getting a bit more confident with using videos. So often for staff who hadn't wanted to create videos before or didn't enjoy using video conferencing software, suddenly there was this expectation of using Zoom or our content management platform to create materials. And for a lot of those staff who'd been nervous and had the chance to do that training beforehand with us, it gave them a bit of a boost to get ready for that. Seeing yourself on screen, practicing and fluffing lines and trying it again. And also, I think the importance of seeing that video doesn't have to be perfect quite often. It just has to be, you know, has to be clear, engaging, and you've got to show that you're interested. So I think there's a baseline requirement, but it doesn't have to be super high quality production values all the time. And so that's what we've done in BAL. Often if staff want to produce something that's a bit higher quality than a Zoom recording, but they don't have the time or resource to, you know, get an external media company in or use a full studio setup, then they tend to use Rapid MOOC because you can pop in and out. It's got scripting on screen, like an auto cue, and the video is made straight away. So the idea is that it kind of puts the onus on the member of staff to think about the pre-production, think about preparing for the video and what they want to get out of it, rather than it all being done in post-production editing. And I think that's really useful because, again, it reinforces the importance for staff of thinking about what's going to go into your teaching materials, preparing in advance. What is it you want to get out of this? What do you want your students to learn? And preparing for that in advance. So, yeah, that's been a really useful thing for us, a great resource. And I think it mirrors what goes on with the Learning Glass as well. You know, it's an additional resource that staff can use to help particular learning materials stand out and for particular purposes as well.
Aaron, that's been absolutely fascinating speaking to you. So what's the kind of the plan moving forward with BAL Digital? Do you have any big projects that you're working on that you can talk about or strategies that you're using in the future?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, historically, I think like a lot of university online course developers or learning technologists, our staff were here to help academics to get more confident with technology and to develop their skills in those areas, which is really important. I think that continues to be a part of what all of us do. But as things have changed over the last few years, staff have upskilled in a lot of areas. And a key part of our university strategy going forwards, our digital success plan, is to try and enhance learning and teaching through what we're doing using a particular learning design methodology. So ours at the university is called Enable, and it's based on ABC and Carpe Diem and Cairo and a number of others. So what we tend to do as a team now increasingly is try and upskill staff so that they can support themselves in their learning and teaching practice, and then we can also be there on hand to help with the learning design methodology that's being deployed within university. So often it's workshop based. We'll work with staff on storyboards and roadmaps on what they can do with their modules and courses, advise on how we can use learning technology or how things can be designed in the most effective way for the benefit of learners and staff. So that's the hope, really. As time goes on, we'll become increasingly embedded in that process. And it will hopefully be a mutually beneficial thing for academics as well as for us. And I think that's a natural thing, really, as time goes on and people develop their skills using learning technology and develop confidence in that area, then this really just enhances quality overall for our students and our course experiences. And as a result, I think that means we can focus on larger projects at a module or course level. So often we can pour our resource into creating really good quality reusable learning assets or working on things that could be used across multiple courses, because staff are often empowered to be able to do day-to-day things themselves, and our resource can be used in that kind of way. And that's the kind of projects that we work on and we're looking to work on in future.
So thank you very much, Aaron, for coming on the podcast. So we will pop into the show notes some links to some of the resources that Aaron's spoken about. And if you do have any further questions, please do feel free to get in touch with the links below.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a pleasure. All the best.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Telltales podcast. Please do check out the Telltales blog, which can be found at telltales.port.ac.uk. You can also follow us on our social media channels at Tell Portsmouth on both Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget you can subscribe to our podcast here, but also for major music streaming platforms such as Apple Music and Spotify. Additional information about our shows can be found written within our show notes. We thank you for listening and look forward to seeing you next time.